We're coming towards the end of Matthew chapter 6. I mentioned last week that I have one more message to preach on these final few verses. And I do, but it ended up too long, so I've cut it in half. There are two particular books that I found quite helpful in my studies as we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. There's obviously a lot of very helpful comments and information given in a lot of general commentaries, but two in particular specific to this section of God's Word have been very helpful. The first is one that many of you will be familiar with. It's Martin Lloyd-Jones' series through the Sermon on the Mount, and that's been very helpful indeed. Another one, which is probably less well known, but should also be read, is that by A.W. Pink. And at different times, I found each of those books to be particularly helpful. Sometimes they've more or less been of equal help, and on certain verses I found myself much more helped by one book, and other sections much more helped by the other. And that's the nature of reading through those kinds of commentaries that the Lord in his grace and goodness has given us now in this day and age to be able to use the insights given from saints who've gone before us. And as I've been looking through this week, I've been brought back on a number of occasions to that little phrase at the end of verse 30 that I did cover last week, but only quite briefly, "O you of little faith." And I was very struck again as I read through the chapter that Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones covers on that little phrase. And I found myself reading it through a few times. And so this evening, I just want to bring a number of things that are very much based on that particular chapter of his book. Unashamedly let you know that that's where most of these thoughts have come from. And I found it really helpful. And I trust that you will as well when we think about this phrase. What I want to do this evening is just give you a brief introduction. And then briefly just look at eight things that Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones highlights that we need to pause and ponder on concerning that phrase, "you of little faith." Because we need to remember that that phrase is addressed to Christian believers. Jesus isn't talking to people who we think, well, are they, aren't they? Maybe they've nearly come into the kingdom. Maybe they're nearly a Christian. They just haven't got enough faith yet. No, not at all. These verses are addressed to Christians. And Jesus looks at Christians and says, "You of little faith." Well, we need to take that seriously. Might that be me? Might these words of Jesus actually be true of me? And if they are, what's the significance of it? And if that is true of me, is there something that perhaps I need to stop and pause and think about and do something about so that I can grow in faith? It is Christian people Jesus is addressing. We highlighted that very clearly at the start of the series when we looked at the Beatitudes in those opening verses of chapter 5. There, Jesus doesn't give us a list of challenges to try and attain. He lays out the character of a Christian believer. This is who you are. If you're trusting in Christ, this describes you. Those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn because they have a proper sense of their sin and their guilt, they have a proper sense of the offense that their sin has caused to God. Does that describe you? It's addressed to those who are meek, and because of meekness are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Of all the things that we could hunger and thirst after, Jesus says right up there at the very top of the agenda, it's righteousness. Living pleasing before God. And he's speaking to those who do have faith. But some may be of little faith, but they do have faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You cannot be a Christian at all without faith. He's encouraged us to address God as our Heavenly Father. It's for those who are his children. It's only for those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, says John in the opening chapter of his gospel, that have been given the right to become children of God. And that's who we are. And that's who this sermon is addressed to. And he contrasts us to the Gentiles. And by the Gentiles, he means those who are not of faith. Does that there in verse 32. After all these things of the world, what we shall eat or drink or wear, the Gentiles seek. So they're not the same as you. They're those who are not of the faith. But you do have faith. You are of faith. But perhaps you only have little faith. Well, what does it mean, and what is the significance of this phrase that Jesus uses, to be a Christian of little faith? It's Christians who have insufficient faith for living the way they ought to be living. Some Christians are happy, perhaps, just to have faith that saves. And that to them seems to be enough. Well, I'm a Christian now. I've got enough faith for that. Surely that's all I need. As long as I'm a Christian, as long as I know that I'm Christ's, as long as I know that my sins are forgiven, as long as I know that when I die I'm going to be with God because of the merits of Christ, surely that is all that's necessary. Surely I don't need any more faith than that. Well, it's to people who speak like that Jesus says, you of little faith. Because it's a faith that is only concerned with the issue of salvation. Now, don't get me wrong, that's a very important issue. And if you've never dealt with the issue of salvation through Christ, then you need to. It's the most important thing that you can think about. If you're not a Christian and you know you're not saved, getting saved because of Christ and through Christ and in Christ is the most important thing you need to consider. But if you are a Christian, there is more than that. There's more to it than that. And to be someone who is of little faith is to be a Christian whose faith really doesn't go as wide as it should. You kind of got blinkers on. You can only see this bit when there's all this to see. That's what Jesus is talking about. We can have a faith that makes us Christians. But what about our daily lives? What about the way we live? Well, Jesus is saying that it's those who are of little faith who are the ones who get worried and anxious when they shouldn't be worried and anxious. So if you're someone who does struggle with worry, if you're someone who finds yourself struggling with anxiety, maybe it is because you are of little faith. You're saved. You're safe in the kingdom. But you've got like some kind of blinker on that doesn't let you see all that you're supposed to be seeing as a Christian. Because true faith is not just about getting saved. True faith is about then living all my life, every area of my life, as a Christian man or a Christian woman. A little faith, perhaps, doesn't really comprehend and understand all the promises that we find in the Bible. Doesn't truly get to grips with them. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones talked about a man who he met. He doesn't name the man. But this man said something that really struck a chord with him. And this is what the man said. See what you think of this. The trouble with many of us Christians is that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but we do not believe him. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in the sense that we're saved, but we do not believe him in the sense that when we come to some of the things that he's talking about in the Sermon on the Mount, we just don't grasp them, and we don't put them into practice. we don't actually find that we can trust the things that Jesus is saying. We have little faith. Do we actually believe that when Jesus says, "Your Father in heaven knows and understands all that you are in need of. Do not worry, because he will supply." Now, you believe on Jesus. That's why you're a Christian. But when he says things like this, do you believe him? That's a good question to ask ourselves, isn't it? Is this really true? Is this really reliable? Can I really lean my whole life on these words of Jesus and they will prove to be true to me? Well, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones points out 8 things that I found to be really helpful in considering this issue. And I just want to briefly go through them with you. What does it actually mean to be of little faith? What are some of the actual nitty-gritty issues? What are some of the practicalities about this? How might it actually be affecting me day by day as a Christian if I'm of little faith? Well, he suggests that, first of all, to be of little faith means that we are mastered by our circumstances instead of mastering them. We find that our circumstances dictate to us how we feel, how we react, and how we behave. And so, for example, in the issue of food and clothing and all those kinds of things, the daily things that we need, the need for all of these things can bear down upon us, and we kind of become the victims in all of this because we're worried about it. We're weighed down with concerns about it. And rather than us being able to see and know that God is over all of these things in our lives, our circumstances master us and take hold of us. And this is something that should never happen to a Christian. And you see quite a few examples of this kind of thing in the New Testament, even with Jesus and his disciples. Think of the situation when he was in the boat on the Sea of Galilee in the midst of the storm. There the disciples were of little faith. "Where is your faith?" he says to them. "You've allowed your circumstance to master you. Shouldn't be that way." That's why Jesus was fast asleep on a pillow at the back of the boat. He knew what it was to master his circumstances, not the other way round. Little faith. My circumstances get on top of me. And they affect my moods and how I'm going to be with people today. When I get up in the morning, as I go through the day, people are going to be able to see in me that I'm really out of sorts because of that circumstance. Jesus is saying it doesn't have to be that way in the life of the Christian. You're of little faith. You need to see the bigger picture that the Bible brings to you. The second issue about little faith is that little faith does not think the way it should think. The Apostle Paul talks an awful lot about understanding. He talks an awful lot about the mind. He talks an awful lot about comprehending. Martin Lloyd-Jones uses this expression: life comes to us with a club in its hand and strikes us on the head, and we become incapable of thought, helpless and defeated. And sometimes you've come across Christians and a particular circumstance has come their way, and the way they're talking and the way they're thinking really takes you by surprise. I never really thought I would find them thinking like that, or acting like that, or saying those kinds of things. What is going on? What are they thinking? That's not how a Christian ought to think. And you're right, very often. And those who are of little faith don't think the way we should think. Because being of faith doesn't mean just sitting down and expecting that God is just going to do everything. That's not the Christian faith. Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. Now, when he says that, he's asking us to pause and to stop and to think. Think things through. Think about the birds and how they survive. Think about who it is that supplies their need. Think about how you are in your standing before God compared to a bird. Think, surely if God will provide for these little birds, surely I can rely on him to trust, to supply my needs. Think, says Jesus. Think. Think as a Christian should think. Are you someone who finds yourself maybe in the middle of the night, maybe in the middle of the day? There's all kinds of situations that go whirring round your head. And you find yourself thinking about that circumstance, whatever it is, whoever it concerns, and you find yourself going through every possible outcome, every possible permutation. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if, what if, what if? And you find yourself just going round and round in circles, and at the end, you're 10 times more worried than you were when you began. You're not thinking the way a Christian is supposed to think. Third thing. Having little faith is a failure to grasp the scriptures at face value and believe them. This is what God says. That is sufficient for me. This is what God promises. I will stand on this promise. This is who the Bible says I am in Christ. I will stand on what the scripture says. Little faith doesn't do that. Little faith is full of ifs and buts and maybes. Now, of course, we need to be careful in the Bible because there are certain things in the Bible that aren't meant to be taken literally. But the ones that are usually pretty clear. Very straightforward. Clear commands. Clear statements of truth. And those who are of little faith, they do not take the scripture at face value. And they might say, well, yes, I know it says this, but, well, I see it works in that situation, but, well, it's okay for him, but. Little faith struggles to take God's word at face value, rather than saying, all of these promises are for me. All of these truths are absolute and eternal, unchangeable. Remind myself of that every time I come to the Bible. Fourth thing about little faith. Little faith is the failure to realize all the implications of our being saved. It's a failure to realize that being saved is more than God has forgiven my sins. Now, of course, it is that, and that's a very big and important part of it, but it's more than God has forgiven my sins. Being saved is more than when I die, I'll be in heaven. Although that's a very big and important part of it as well. There are all kinds of truths that the Bible talks about, especially in the writings of the Apostle Paul, that talk about the implications of being saved, all the wonderful benefits and privileges that are yours as a Christian. The truths about how you are united with Christ and how all the benefits of Christ have been brought to you. About how it is you've been saved. That you've been crucified with Christ. And that his righteousness has been put to your account. Now, if we don't grasp that, we're going to be in trouble as a Christian. And all these other great truths that are there. And here we are worrying about food and drink and clothing and all the other things. And the scriptures pouring down all these blessings and privileges that are ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me just read a couple of verses from Ephesians. This is just two verses from Ephesians chapter 1. This is the kind of thing. This is Paul praying for Christian believers. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that is Christ, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. To know all these things, little faith doesn't see that. And it fails to come to those great truths that the Bible gives us. We don't realize who we are as children of God. The Lord Jesus has talked about the lilies of the field, and he says they're just like grass. They're here one day, and the next day they're burned. And if I am of little faith, I fail to see and I don't properly understand. That's not me. I'm a child of God. How he cares for me compared to the flowers. How he'll provide for me. I'm one of his children. Little faith doesn't see those things. Doesn't grasp those things. I'm destined for glory. Christ even now is preparing for me a home in heaven. I've got this great inheritance. I'm a fellow heir with Christ himself. It's wonderful. And little faith doesn't see those things, doesn't apprehend them, doesn't take hold of them. And when it reads the scriptures, little faith doesn't say, this is me the Bible's talking about. This is me the Bible's talking about. What wonder is that, that this is talking about me? And little faith doesn't do that. Fifth thing, little faith doesn't realize what God is as our Heavenly Father. Little faith ignores the fact that God is my Father and he has good things for me. Says in the Word, doesn't it? You as men, you ordinary men, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more will God give good things to you? He's my Heavenly Father. And I'm elect. God chose me before the foundations of the world were laid. I've been separated to Christ. God is sanctifying me, setting me apart by his Spirit. This is the work of God, my Heavenly Father. And all that he's done is unchanging. It's always eternally true. And those who are of little faith, they fail to grasp these things. See that the Bible's speaking about me. This is my Father in heaven who's doing all this for me. And if this is God who's promising all of these things, and if he is my Father, this God who created, we've been remembering with our children in the mornings, created this vast universe in all its splendor and wonder and glory. That God is my Father. Little faith fails to comprehend the wonder of having that God as your Father. And that's why we worry and that's why we're anxious. If God can do all of that, what do I have to worry about? If that God is on my side and working for me, what do I have to worry about in this world and in this life? If a God like that is my dad, what on earth am I worried about? What are you worried about? He's your dad, and he loves you. And that's the sixth point. God loves you. He cares about you. And little faith fails to grasp and understand the love and the concern of God. God loves me. One of the things that Paul prayed for Christian believers is that they would know the love of God towards us. Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 14. For this reason, says the apostle, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, there's the mind again, comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ. Paul says, oh, I pray that you might know the love of Christ, that you might know how much God loves you. Because he understands that often believers have little faith. They don't understand. They need to have their eyes opened and their understanding enlightened and widened just how much God loves us. If you're not a Christian this evening, oh, how God loves. What love God has towards sinners demonstrated to us through Christ. And seventhly, he's concerned for us. Look at the way Jesus is speaking about the concern that God has. Consider all these other lower parts of God's creation. Look how he supplies their need. Look how he cares for them. Look at his concern for them. And then think, how much greater must his concern be for me? God is not against me if I'm his child. He's for me. Why do you worry, says the Lord Jesus, when you have this glorious God and Father who loves you and his concern is over you? And then the final thing, think about God's power and God's ability. Because God is able to do all this. God actually is able. I want to read a few verses from the Psalms. It's Psalm 46. God is able. If you're of little faith, one of the reasons is because you haven't grasped just how able God is. You haven't understood that in your life, God is able. You haven't comprehended that in your daily circumstances, God is able. You haven't apprehended the fact that in all of your daily needs, God is able. Listen to what the psalmist says. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You see, this is written by someone who is not of little faith. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, whatever happens in all of this world, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God is able. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. He's not slow to come in and help his people. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. This is what Jesus is encouraging his disciples to do. Behold the works of the Lord. Who's made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. be still and know that I am God. If you've recognized yourself somewhere along the way this evening as being one who is of little faith, be still and know that He is God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones suggests that where we read, "Be still and know that I am God," it's as if God is saying this. This is my power. Give up, keep silent, and know that I am God. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said that we should know the exceeding greatness of God's power. God is able. People of little faith have forgotten that God is able. They've forgotten that it's all about His power working in me mightily. That was Paul's testimony. Isn't it a foolish thing to worry? Isn't it a foolish thing to let the things of this world get us down? If we will only pause, remember the scripture, remember all that it says is true about a man or a woman who's trusting in Christ. Remember what it tells us about God's love and concern towards us. We remember that God is able. We remember all the blessings and privileges that we have in Christ. We remember where it is that Christ has put us. He's lifted us out of the miry clay and placed our feet on solid ground, dealt with all of our sin problem, preparing a home in glory forever. What do we have to worry about? Those disciples that night on Galilee were in fear of their lives. The Saviour's fast asleep in the back of the boat. They wake Him, terrified that they're about to die. Jesus' first words, "Where's your faith? Where's your faith?" For a Christian to be worried and anxious about all the things of this world is a complete contradiction to the position that God has put us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to just exhort you and urge you to just consider the exhortations of the scripture. Next week we'll conclude, 2 weeks' time. We've got Roger with us next week. 2 weeks' time we'll conclude this chapter. We'll think of the words of Christ, "Seek first the kingdom of God." All these things will be added to you. But may we not be found to be those who are of little faith, because by God's grace and in the power of His Spirit, we're growing daily in our understanding of the things of God, understanding the scriptures, understanding who God is, understanding where He's placed us in Christ, and that we might all be still and know that He is God, and that that is sufficient for us all.